So we are working our way through the Bible in two sermons. In our last sermon, we began in Genesis and we worked our way all the way through to the book of Malachi. Today, we're going to start in Malachi and we're going to conclude in Revelation. And the purpose of this series is to show how all the books of the Bible are tied together, how all the books of the Bible tell just one story. It tells the story of this amazing God who loved us so much that he gave his one and only son for us to die on the cross. That's really what the story is about from beginning to the end. I think it's significant that the Old Testament messages end in Malachi with the promise of the coming of Elijah, who we know to be John the Baptist. About 400 years after the close of the Old Testament, there was a priest by the name of Zechariah. And he went into the temple to offer incense before the Lord there. And while he was officiating his duty, an angel appeared at the right side of the altar. That angel's name was Gabriel. And Zechariah was startled at the presence of this angel. And the angel said, "Do not fear." It says, "Your prayer has been answered, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son." And he said, "Well, how can we have children? We're old." And he says, "You will be dumb and unable to speak until a child is born, and you will call his name John." And so Zacharias left the temple. He was unable to speak to the people. He went home, and his wife did conceive and bore a son. And they wanted to name him after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name will be John." And so they made signs to Zechariah, "What do we call him?" And he motioned for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And when he wrote that, immediately his tongue was loosed and he began to praise and magnify God. About 6 months later, the angel Gabriel appeared to a virgin named Mary. And she was espoused to a man named Joseph. And this angel said, this was the angel Gabriel, said that you will conceive and bear a child. And that child will be the Son of God. And so The angel said that the power of the highest will overshadow you, and that holy thing that is in thee shall be called the Son of God. It wasn't long after that when Joseph, her espoused husband, saw that she was with child, he was going to put her away by divorce because he felt that she had been unfaithful. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Do not put away Mary. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, a few months later, Augustus Caesar gave a decree that all of the people of Israel were to go back to their hometown and be enrolled in this taxation. And because Joseph was of the house of David, they went to Bethlehem. And Mary took that long 90-mile donkey ride, I guess, down to Bethlehem. And because there was a great influx of people, everybody coming to be enrolled in the taxation, there was no place for them to stay. And so they stayed in perhaps a cave, where some translations say stable. But more than likely, it was probably a cave. And that night she gave birth to a son, and she wrapped this child in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And not far from there, there were shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And this angel appeared, and the shepherds were shocked, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you tidings of great joy. For there is born for you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." And so along with that angel, then appeared a whole host of angels, and they were praising God and giving glory to God and said, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." And then they went and they found the child and they worshiped him, we're told. And then sometime after that, we don't know exactly how long after that, magi or wise men came from the east. And they said, "Where is the King of the Jews? We've seen a star in the east and we've come to worship him." And when Herod heard this, and all the people of Jerusalem were astonished by this. And so they went to the chief priests and the teachers of the law and said, "Where is it that the Christ was to be born?" And they went to Micah chapter 5 verse 2, which says, But thou Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are not least among the princes of Judah. Yet out of thee shall he come forth, who is to be ruler or shepherd of my people Israel. And so the wise men, they found Jesus, and they worshiped Jesus, and they presented unto him gifts. They gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then they were warned by the angel not to return to Herod and let him know where the child was. And so when Herod had found out that he had been mocked by the wise men, he became angry and he was enraged, and he set out to destroy all the young children in Bethlehem. And so the angel of the Lord went to Joseph and says, Take the child and his mother and go into the land of Egypt and be there until I bring you word. And so they went into Egypt. Meanwhile, Herod wipes out all the young youth in Bethlehem. And after the death of Herod, the angel of the Lord came once again to Joseph and said, Take the child and his mother and go back into the land. And so they made their way back into the land, and they started to go through Judea. But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning in the room of his father Herod, they were afraid. And so they went around and went up in the Galilee, and they dwelt in Nazareth. And Jesus grew up in Nazareth, the son of a carpenter. When he was 12 years old, his parents went down to Jerusalem for one of the feast days. And when the feast was accomplished and they began to make their way home, the Bible says they went about a day's journey, and they realized that Jesus wasn't in their presence, in their company. They usually traveled in bands and groups of people, and they realized Jesus wasn't among them. So they had to go back to Jerusalem, and 3 days later, they find Jesus in the temple. He's asking questions, and he's listening, and they were amazed at the understanding that this young man had. And so his parents, when they find him on the third day, they were put out. And they said, Why did you do this to us? Don't you know that we've been anxiously searching for you? And he said, And didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? And so Jesus went home, and he was subject to them, and he grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and men. Around 18 years later, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus came to be baptized by John, and John said, Hey, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? And Jesus said, Suffer it to be so now, John, for thus it's necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John baptized Jesus. And when Jesus came out of the water, the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then Jesus went into the wilderness, and he had fasted for 40 days. And the tempter came to him and said, If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus said, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, places him on the temple, and says, Jump down, for it is written, He will give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they will bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said, Again it is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then the devil tooketh him into an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said, All of this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus says, Away with you, Satan. It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The Bible says the devil left him. Angels came, and they ministered to him. And then our Lord came back into the city, and he began to choose those who would be his disciples. Those men that he would send out to preach the gospel, they were Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Lebius and Thaddeus and Judas Iscariot. And then Jesus sat on the mountainside one day and he taught the disciples and he says, Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. He said, You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corners to be seen of men, but rather enter into your closet when you've shut the door, pray to the Father in secret. And you pray this way, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then Jesus says, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the people were amazed and astonished because he didn't teach like the scribes or the Sadducees or the Pharisees. He taught as one having authority. He said, I say to you. The word says this, but I say. The teachers didn't teach that way. Jesus was unique in that. And so when he had finished, the people were amazed. And then Jesus, on one particular day, a leper came up and bowed before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I'm willing. And he reached out and he touched that leper. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Our Lord went from there and he met a centurion. This centurion had a servant who was really ill. And he said, Lord, please heal my servant. And Jesus said, I'll go and heal him. And he said, oh, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. He said, go, your servant lives. And his servant lived. And then Jesus encountered this widow. She was weeping over the death of her son. It was a funeral procession. And Jesus goes over to this widow woman and he stops the procession and he says, young man, arise. And the young man came back to life and he gave that boy back to his mother. What an occasion that must have been. Our Lord stood by the seaside one day and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes out and sows seed. And some falls by the wayside and some on stony ground and some on thorny ground and some on good ground. And then he said, the kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed, which starts really small and then grows to be really large. And then one day, they brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in the very act of adultery. They said, Moses in the law says we should stone such a woman, but what do you say? And Jesus said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they began to go away from the oldest to the youngest. And then there was a blind man from birth, and Jesus spit on the ground. He made some clay. And then he anointed the eyes of this blind man and told this blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did, and he received his sight. He was healed. Our Lord got into a boat with his disciples. He was tired. He went down below to sleep. And a storm arose on the sea, and it was pretty incredible. So much so that the disciples were fearing for their lives, and they ran to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus awoke and he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And immediately there was a great calm. And they said, what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? When they came to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, they encountered this man known as Legion. He was a man who was possessed with many, many demons, and he would cut himself, and he would run around naked, and they tried binding him with chains and ropes, and whatever it was, he would break because he had this supernatural strength because he was demon-possessed. And Jesus rebuked those demons, and they went into a herd of swine who ran down a hill and went into the sea and perished. But the next scene, you see this man who was a crazed maniac sitting in his right mind at the foot of Jesus, clothed. What a beautiful healing Jesus performed. Our Lord went back to the other side of the sea and he found a man named Jairus and his daughter was very, very sick. And he said, Lord, please come and heal my daughter. Jesus said, I'll go. And as they began to make their way, there was another woman in the crowd who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I can be whole. And so she made her way and got close to Jesus and reached out and touched Jesus. And immediately Jesus said, well, who touched me? And the disciples were like, Lord, you're being thronged by the people. I mean, you know, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But Jesus knew that someone touched him in a very special way, and I believe he knew who it was. But the woman fell down before him and said, it was me. And he said, young lady, your faith has made you whole. And then news had come at this time that Jairus' daughter had already died and said, trouble the master no longer. And Jesus said, no, she's just asleep. And when they arrive at the house, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and the parents and goes into the room and says, little girl, arise. And this little girl rose, and he gave this little girl back to her mama. And so our Lord was teaching along the seaside of Galilee one day, and He told his disciples, he said, where should we buy enough food to feed all these people? Philip said, Lord, that would cost a fortune. But Andrew said, well, here's a lad here who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, that's enough, that'll work. He said, have the people sit down, and the people sat down. And he began to break the bread and give it to the apostles. He broke the fish and gave it to the apostles, and he just kept breaking and breaking and breaking. And by the time he was done, he fed 5,000 men, not counting women or children. So it was an incredible miracle that Jesus performed. And so our Lord then went into the mountain to pray that night. The disciples went down to the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, the wind was really contrary to them. They were really struggling. And then they look out and they see Jesus coming and walking across the water. They didn't realize it was Jesus at first. They thought it was a spirit of some kind. And they cried out. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's I. And Jesus walked to the boat and got in. And then Jesus took that little band of disciples and he went up to Caesarea Philippi and he asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you're Jeremiah or Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so Jesus then took Peter, James, and John and went up into a mountain, and he was transfigured. He appeared in all of his glory, and there was Moses and Elijah with him. And they were talking about his death, which would occur at Jerusalem. And then a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the disciples looked up, they saw Jesus alone. Now, news had reached Jesus that Lazarus, a good friend of his, was sick and near death. By the time Jesus makes it to Bethany, Lazarus had already died and been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha is the first one to come out to greet Jesus. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, your brother will live again. And she says, Lord, I know he'll live again in the resurrection. And then he looked at her and he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Wow, what powerful words to hear. And so Jesus says, show me where you've laid him. So they took Jesus to the tomb. He said, roll away the stone. They said, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. By now his body stinks. Nonetheless, they rolled away that stone. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And this man who had been in the grave 4 days rotting comes to the entrance of the tomb alive. Shortly after that, our Lord gathered a crowd of disciples. They made their way from Jericho down to Jerusalem. Along the way, he met Zacchaeus. He heals blind Bartimaeus. And then the disciples got a little colt for him to ride on. And he began to make his way into Jerusalem. And this was on Sunday. And the people were putting palm branches before him and hailing him as the king. That Thursday night, Jesus was with his disciples in an upper room. They were celebrating Passover, and Jesus took some bread and he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he took the cup, and after he blessed it, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new and everlasting covenant poured out for many for the remission of sins. And then they sang a song, and then they went to the Mount of Olives. And there Jesus prayed 3 times, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. And then Luke tells us that Jesus' sweat was like great drops of blood just falling to the ground. And then Judas is coming with a band of soldiers, and he places that kiss of betrayal on the cheek of Jesus. The disciples fled. Jesus is arrested, and Jesus is taken to Annas, and then he's taken to Caiaphas, and then he's taken to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin condemns him to die for blasphemy, so they then take him to Pilate so that he can be crucified. Pilate tries him, finds no fault. When he finds out that he was of Herod's jurisdiction, he sends him to Herod. Herod tries him. Herod finds no fault, sends him back to Pilate. Pilate just wanted to punish him and let him go, but the people were insistent, no, crucify him, crucify him. So Pilate handed Jesus over to be flogged and subsequently crucified. And so after the flogging of Jesus, they took a purple robe, they put it on Jesus. They took a crown of thorns and pressed it into his brow. They took a staff and put it in his hand, and they began to mock him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews, King of the Jews." And then Jesus was led from there to be crucified. So they led him to that place that's called in Hebrew Golgotha. The Latin is Calvary. And Jesus is flung back on the cross, his arms and hands outstretched, nailed to the cross. The cross is lifted up, dropped into a socket in the ground, and Jesus is hanging there. And he utters seven significant statements. The first was, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The second was, in reference to the thief, he told the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then Jesus said to John and Mary, he said, "Mother, behold your son, and son, behold your mother." Then he uttered those words in Psalm 22, verse 1. "Eli, Eli, lama azabtani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then Jesus said, "I thirst." And then he said, "It is finished." And then he said, "Into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit." And he slumped in death. And there was an earthquake. And the centurion at the cross said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And over at the temple, the veil rent from top to bottom, showing that now man has access into the Holy of Holies through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was taken down from the cross. He was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. This was on Friday afternoon. When the women came to the tomb early Sunday morning to finish anointing the body, the stone had already been rolled away from the entrance of the tomb, and there were angels standing there which said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, just as he said he would." He appears first to Mary Magdalene, then he appeared to the women, and then to Peter, and then to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. And then he appeared to the 10, then he appeared to the 11, and then Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 how he appeared to 500 brethren at one time. For 40 days, Jesus met with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them things concerning the kingdom of God. He gave them the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then Jesus went up on the top of the Mount of Olives with his disciples. He said, "You'll be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." And then Jesus went up into heaven in a cloud. And an angel standing there said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you will come in like manner as he's gone up into heaven." And so they returned to the city and they waited, just as Jesus said. Matthias was chosen to take the place of Judas Iscariot. The day of Pentecost came, and the Spirit of God came upon the disciples. And Peter stood up and he preached a marvelous sermon. He talked about how Jesus died and was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. And then he concluded that sermon by saying, "This God has made this Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ." And when they heard that, they said, the people said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 3,000 people responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ that day. And then the gospel began to spread not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea. And then after the death of Stephen, Philip took the gospel up to Samaria. And the Samaritans, having heard the gospel, they obeyed the gospel. They were baptized. Philip also encounters the Ethiopian eunuch and he's converted. Acts 9, the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, is converted. And then in Acts chapter 10, we read about the baptism of Cornelius and his household, the first Gentile converts. And then you have the first Gentile church, which is up in Antioch. And it's in Antioch where the disciples were first called Christians, if you'll remember. And so while Paul and Barnabas were there in Antioch and they were in a worship service, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate Paul and Barnabas for a work whereunto I have called them." And so they left and they were accompanied by John Mark. And they went from Antioch to Seleucia, down to Cyprus, to Salamis, to Paphos. And this is where Sergius Paulus obeyed the gospel, became a believer. They went up to Phrygia and to Pamphylia. This is where John Mark bailed on them and went back to Jerusalem. And then they went to Antioch of Pisidia, where Paul had preached in a synagogue. He was run out of there. And then he preached in Iconium, and he was run out of there. And then he went to Lystra, and then he was stoned and left for dead. They actually thought Paul was dead when they were done stoning. But Paul rose up from that. And then Paul went on to Derbe, and believe it or not, he went back to Lystra and preached in the very place where he was stoned and left for dead. And then he went to Iconium and back to Antioch, and then back to Phrygia, and then back to Antioch of Syria. That concluded the first missionary journey. And so there was a great problem at this time concerning the Gentiles. And so a council met to deal with this problem. Basically, they concluded the Gentiles didn't have to become Jews in order to be God's children. They didn't have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And then Paul and Barnabas set out to go on their second missionary journey. And Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul said he's not going because he bailed on the first missionary journey. And so Barnabas took John Mark and he went down to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas. And he went from Antioch to Cilicia, down to Syria, through southern Galatia, Derbe. He went to Lystra, picks up Timothy there, came over to Troas. There Paul receives what we know as the Macedonian call. It was a vision of a man in the night that said, come over here and help us. Paul concluded that God was calling him to preach the gospel in Europe. So he sailed to the other side of the Hellespont, to the harbor city of Neapolis, tracked a few miles, came to Philippi. They cast a demon out of a girl. They were then thrown in prison. And Paul, in prison with Silas, began to pray and sing songs. And when they did so, there was an earthquake. The jailer come running in and says, sirs, what must we do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. It was a great occasion. It was a great time. And then after Philippi, they came to Amphipolis, and then to Apollonia, and then to Thessalonica, where they had a successful ministry there until they were run out by the Jews. They came to Berea, and then they went to Athens. And then Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica to check on the Thessalonians to make sure they were doing well. It was at this point in Paul's ministry that he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And then at Athens, Paul preached a marvelous sermon on Mars Hill. And he had little success there in Athens. And then he went to Corinth, where he stayed for 18 months, and he established a church there. He left Corinth. He went to Ephesus and then to Antioch. And that concluded the second missionary journey. And then shortly after that, Paul began his third missionary journey. He left Antioch and went straight to Ephesus, stayed there for 3 years. He preached for 2 years in the synagogue of Tyrannus. And then there was that great riot with Demetrius, the silversmith, and over Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And so after there, Paul received communication from Corinth. And then he wrote 1 Corinthians to settle some problems that he had been hearing about in that particular church. And then after a 3-year ministry, he went north to Troas to meet Titus, who would bring him good news of the church of Corinth. But Titus wasn't there. And so Paul then went on. And then Paul sent a letter of thanks to the church at Corinth. And we refer to this as 2 Corinthians. And then that winter, he came down to Corinth, where he stayed for 3 months. And then it was about this time when he writes the letter to the Romans. Because of a plot against Paul's life, he is in Macedonia. He goes to Troas. He went to Miletus. He calls for the Ephesian elders to come to him. And when they came, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He sailed from there to Ptolemais, then Caesarea, and then back to Philippi. He went into the temple to help some men with their vows. And then he was accused of bringing Greeks into the temple and therefore polluting the holy place. So Paul was arrested. He was taken and placed in protective custody. He spent 2 years in Caesarea, where he stood before Felix and Festus. And then he was sent to Rome, where he remained for 2 more years. It was during this time that he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians. It was also at this time that a runaway slave had encountered Paul by chance, by the providence of God. He became a believer. And Paul sent a letter to his master, who was Philemon. And then Paul was released from prison around AD 63. At this time, he wrote 1 Timothy and the book of Titus. And then he was imprisoned again in AD 67. This was the great persecution against Christians by Nero. And so Paul, while in the Mamertine prison, he wrote his final words, 2 Timothy, and then he was beheaded. And then there were others who were writing their letters about this time. 1 and 2 Peter were written to encourage the saints in Asia Minor to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. The letter of Jude was written about this time. And then you have the letters of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the Gospel of John written near the end of the first century. And then you had the greatest triumphant letter of all, the letter of Revelation. And in this letter of Revelation, John shows this conflict between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom, and it's God's kingdom that wins out. John shows us the scene where Satan and the false prophet and all the wicked are cast into the lake of fire. Then John gives us a glimpse of our eternal home, the New Jerusalem, and says there's no sadness or sorrow or death. All those things have passed away. So the theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation can be summed up in 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. God cares for you. We began in Genesis, we've concluded in Revelation, and every bit of that is the message of God's care for you. That's what the book is about. It's about a God who acts in history, a God who planned and purposed our redemption, a God who involves himself in our lives as he did the people of old. God loves you, and God wants a relationship with you, and God has made that possible through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to read to you just a few verses. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, he says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And so, do you know Jesus? Do you believe in him? Have you confessed your faith in Christ? Have you been buried with him in the waters of baptism? And if you haven't, this morning, God is calling you to come. It's his invitation. It's not the church's invitation. God is calling you. If you need to come this morning for salvation, come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. God will welcome you. God will embrace you. If you have any other needs, you can make that known, and the elders will be here to assist you and pray with you and meet whatever needs you have. So whatever your need is, make it known as we stand and sing.